So let's review. A Gemara began with a statement from the previous daf. Gufa. Amar Rav Chisda, Na'atz Kana B'Shus HaYachid, V'Zark V'Nachal Gabov. Afil Gvoye Me'a Amachayev. If someone's standing in Rishus HaRab, a public area, threw an object onto a pole which is in Rishus HaYachid, a private area. Even if the pole is 100 amas high, he is chayev for Haitzah Mirshus L'Rishus, transferring from one domain to another domain on Shabbos. Obviously a pole is generally not four tefachim, four handbreadths wide. Therefore, we can deduce that Reb Chisda holds that you don't need a surface of four tefachim in a Rishus HaYachid for a valid hanacha. Leim Reb Chisda Dama K'Rebbe. It seems that Reb Chisda holds a Rebbe who says, Zarek v'nochel gabiziz kolshu. If he threw an object from the Rishus HaRam that landed on a small protrusion in the Rishus HaYachid, he is chayiv, even though the area upon which it landed is less than four tefachim wide. The Rabban, however, disagree with Rebbe and say that he is potter. It would seem that the opinion of Reb Chisda can only be reconciled with Rebbe, not the Rabbanan. However, the Gemara explains that Rebbe and the Rabban actually both agree with the concept of Rav Chisda, that a hanacha within the Rishus HaYachid does not require a 4x4 area to be valid. Their machlokes is about a different case altogether, where a tree that is growing in Rishus HaYachid has a small branch sticking out into the Rishus HaRabim. Rebbe holds, Shadi Noifei Basar Ikarai. The branch is halachically considered to be in the Rishus HaYachid where the trunk is. Therefore, if he threw something from the Rishus HaRabim onto the branch, he is chai for throwing from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid. The Rabban, however, considered the branch to be in Rishus HaRabim where the branch actually is, therefore he is potter. The Gemara continues with a somewhat similar case in that one may be potter when throwing into the Rishus HaRabim. Omar Baye, Zark Kaveris Rishus HaRabim. If one threw a basket made of reeds into the Rishus HaYachid from the Rishus HaYachid, whether he is chai will depend on the size of the basket. Now, if it's 10 tefachim high and has a diameter of 6 tefachim, into which you can fit a square of 4x4, he is potter, as Rashi explains. This basket is big enough to be deemed its own Rishus, and the Torah only prohibits throwing a chayfetz, an object, not a Rishus, as it was in the Mishkan, from where we learn all the Malachas. But if it's smaller than that, it's no longer its own Rishus, and he is chai. Rava, though, argues, and he says that even if it's not 6 tefachim wide, he's still potter, since some of the reeds will stick up higher than 10 tefachim, which as we learn is a makom ptur in Rishus HaRabim, and Rava holds that even if only a small part of the object is sticking into an area ptur, he is not chayv for throwing it since the whole object is not in the area of chiv. The Gemara next teaches the status of objects in the Rishus HaRabim based on their various heights. Amar Ula. Amar Tisha Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara explains in detail. An object in the Rishus HaRabim that is pachis mishloisha, less than 3 tefachim high, is considered part of the Rishus HaRabim because people just step over it. Mishloisha va'atisha, between 3 and 9 tefachim high, it's not considered part of the Rishus HaRabim because it's not usable by the public. It's too high to walk over it and too low to adjust one's load on it. Tisha vade mikasmin alavai. Here is where Ula's ruling applies. A post which is 9 tefachim high is at the perfect height for people to adjust their loads. Now, since people in the Rishus HaRabim use it often, it's considered part of Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, if he throws something and it lands on this post, he is chayav for transporting 4 amos within the Rishus HaRabim. Upon which Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef, Gumamai, what about a hole in Rishus HaRabim which is 9 tefachim deep? Rabbi Yosef answered him, V'chein beguma. Indeed, it is similarly considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. Rava disagrees and says, Tashmish l'idea hatzchak loish me tashmish. Since a hole of that depth is not convenient to use, it cannot be considered part of Rishus HaRabim. After some discussion, Rava cites a Mishnah which proves his point. Ditznan, im hoyer rekak mayim Rishus HaRabim haleches boy. Hazaruk l'teicha arba amas is chayiv. You have a puddle in Rishus HaRabim which people generally walk right through. Even though it's inconvenient for them, it's considered part of Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, if you throw something into it, you're chayiv. The Mishnah then clarifies that the puddle can only be considered part of Rishus HaRabim if it's less than 10 tefachim deep, and then it repeats, Rekak mayim Rishus HaRabim haleches boy, hazoik l'teich arba amas is chayiv. A puddle in Rishus HaRabim, which people generally walk through, is considered part of Rishus HaRabim, and therefore if you throw something into it, you're chayiv. Now, we can understand why the Mishnah would say the words Rekak mayim, a puddle, twice, to teach that it's considered part of Rishus HaRabim in both summer and winter months. We might have thought maybe it's only part of the Rishus HaRabim in the summer months when people walk through to cool off, but in the winter people generally don't walk through it, so it's not part of the Rishus HaRabim. Or perhaps we'd have thought that people only walk through it in the winter months when they're dirty from the muddy streets anyway, but they won't walk through it in the summer. Therefore, by repeating it, the Mishnah teaches that it's part of the Rishus HaRabim throughout the year. However, why do I have to repeat the words Rishus HaRabim HaLeches Boy, that people walk through it? Once the first part of the Mishnah taught us that, even though it's inconvenient, people will walk through the puddle, and that's why it's considered part of Shasram, there's no reason to repeat those very same words. It must be, says Rava, that the Mishnah is emphasizing. Hiluch al de'atchak shmei hiluch. Inconvenient walking can make an area of Shasram, but tashmash al de'atchak lo shmei tashmash. Inconvenient using is not enough to make an area part of Shasram. Then the Gemara teaches another case where you're potter if you transport something in Rosh Hashanah. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Hai zirza dekani. If he transports a big bundle of reeds by constantly flipping over the bundle end over end, even though he moved it throughout Rosh Hashanah, he's potter, since at no point is the entire bundle moving at once. The Gemara now goes back to discuss another part of the Tosefta quote on Daf Vav. Amar Mar, Adam Oimid Alas Kufa. The Tosefta said that if you're standing on the threshold of a house, you can take things from someone in the house or from someone in the Rosh Hashanah. Now the Gemara here clarifies that this is permitted only when the step he's standing on is less than 4x4 tefachim, which makes it a makom ptur. The daf ends with a discussion of the next part of that tosefta. Amamar, ubavach le'yitel mebal habayis, v'noisin la'ani me'ani v'noisin la'bal habayis. Now even though he's standing in a makom ptur, he cannot take something from someone in Rosh Hashanah and give it to someone in Rosh Hashayachid or vice versa. If he did, though, he's potter because it's only midraban. The Gemara asks, Leimet havetiyuv to Rava. This seems to contradict the ruling of Rava. For Rava had taught, if you carry something for Amos and Rosh Hashanah, afal pi shehaviri derech olav chayiv, that even if he passed it over himself, which is a makom ptur, since that area is over 10 tefachim high, he's still chayiv. This seems to be contradicted by the case of the Tosefta, where he passes something from the Rosh Hashayachid to the Rosh Hashanah, or vice versa, through the doorstep, which we just said is a makom ptur, and the Tosefta says he's potter. The Gemara answered that there is no contradiction, because the cases are different. In the case of the doorstep, when he took the object from the first person, it came to rest in his hands. When he then gives it to the second person, it's a separate act. However, in Rava's case, the object never came to rest. It's one smooth motion. The fact that it passed through a makom ptur is not considered an interruption, and therefore he's chayev for transporting it for Amos in Rosh Hashanah.